So hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Irie.
And this is Unheard, Unbothered.
A podcast for the considerate.
My unpopular opinion for the week is that I low-key think JCL eggs, scrambled eggs, are actually, like, really good.
Oh, okay.
I love them. They're the only thing I eat here, so.
Okay. Are they only, so it's just only breakfast?
Yeah,
so
I'm a.
Lunch and dinner.
I'm, yeah, yeah, I eat Lunchables for dinner, so. And pizza rolls.
You have Lunchables for dinner? Why don't you have them for lunch?
I don't know.
Okay. So my unpopular opinion of the week would probably be that, I don't know, I was really thinking about, like, saying something about the PCL being how, like, I kind of enjoy studying here because it's so ugly that I just want to look at my schoolwork.
Like, wow, dragged.
I can get shit done here because I don't get distracted by, like, anything here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we have a very special treat. We're going to have Jasmine Bell talking to us about all the work she does in poetry, and so I'm going to let Irie give a little introduction.
So Jasmine Bell is a psychology and Chinese senior here at UT who's graduating in May. But she won't walk the stage at graduation, not because she'll be gone or have something else going on, but because she says it's not accessible for her. She's vocal about the struggles and pain that she suffers from, but wouldn't let it ruin her time here at the 40 Acres. She's also a member of UT Spitshine, an award-winning poetry slam group, and we're very lucky to hear some of her poems today, and we're super lucky for her to be here. Welcome, Jasmine.
Woo! Hey.
Hello.
Hey. So what's your unpopular opinion of the week?
I love and hate the UT long names page for many reasons.
Okay.
Are you on the long names page?
Oh, long names. I thought you said alumni, and I was oh, I've never visited the long page.
No, the memes
page. Yeah.
Oh.
Because I'm just like, sometimes it's really funny, and sometimes it's like, but sometimes it's like, it's really depressing, but it's true, and I'm like, why'd you call me out like that?
Yeah.
First of all, I really like Bebo's wholesome music. Yeah. Because I'm just, like, such a, like, depressing person anyways that I'm just, like, I need some positivity.
Yeah.
In my, like, to, like, you know, absorb some positivity every day.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey.
So, tell us what you do with Spitshine Poetry.
So, I'm in Spitshine Poetry. Spitshine Poetry is a student org, and we lead, like, poetry workshops, and we have open mics, and we also, like, bring a team of, like, 5 people to compete at nationals, and that's really fun. I competed for 3 years, and now I'm the coach, so that's fun. And, like, on top of it being, like a writing space, a space for, like, poets to, like, work on their craft and stuff, and also, like, for all levels, but on top of that, it's also, like, an oppression-free zone, so that basically, like, our only rule for, like, whatever you share is that, like, if it's, like, homophobic or racist or sexist or transphobic or ableist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there are many trash cans in this building, and you can take it and you can put it there, and then you can write a new poem that's better.
What a good policy.
Awesome. I know.
So what inspires you to write the poetry that you do?
Yeah, well, when I first got usually I write about big things that happen to me. It used to be that I would write about, like, bad things that happened to me, because I have had, like, a lot of bad things happen to me. Like, when I had a bunch of surgeries growing up, and then, like, when I got into UT, I was in, like, a really abusive relationship, and, like, I found Spitshine, and Spitshine was, like, I needed to find it at that point, because it was, like, the only, like, place, but first of all, it was the only place I could go where he wasn't there, mm-hmm. you know, and, because I was sort of, like, forced to, like, spend all my time with him, mm-hmm. But then, like, so at first I just liked it, because, like, I didn't have to be with him. But then I started, like, you know, expressing, like, feelings.
Right.
Stuff like that. And then it became really useful for me and really healing. And, yeah. But now, like, I still write about things that happened to me. But also, like, I don't know. Usually it just helps me, like, process things. Like, you know how sometimes something happens to you and you're like, I don't know how I feel. Mm-hmm. And then for me, like, if I feel that, then I, like, start writing. And then, like, once I've written something, I'm like, okay, this is how I feel. Yeah.
That's
awesome. So tell us candidly why UT is not accessible to students with disabilities.
So there are a lot of things. Well, first of all, like, there are people with physical disabilities and people with, like, mental illness. I have both, so that's fun. But, like, physically, it's hard to get around campus.
Sure. Yeah.
I can walk, mm-hmm. but, for those, since you can't see me, I can walk, but, and I don't, like, use a wheelchair, but it's, like, really hard to, like, get around the campus because, one, it's so big, and, like, I had to use a wheelchair for, like, a short while when I was in high school, and I went to, like, a camp here,
mm-hmm.
and, we didn't even, like, move around campus, we just, like, stayed in, like, two buildings,
right.
like, the music buildings, and it was impossible to go anywhere by myself. Like, even, like, you know, like, it was, like, technically possible for me to get into places, but it wasn't actually possible
right.
for me to get into places. And that's what, like, you know, people don't understand about, like, ADA is that it just has to be technically possible. It doesn't have to be convenient. It doesn't have to be, like, obvious where the entrances are.
Mm-hmm.
There could be little thresholds in the doors and, like, potholes and stuff, and nobody fixes them. And then it just, like, makes your life really terrible.
Right.
And then also, like, for me, like, I'm, like, super privileged in that, like, my parents are, like, very financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't be able to go to UT. Well, first of all, because tuition, but,
yeah.
but second of all, because, like, I need to use my car
mm-hmm.
to get everywhere on campus. I can't walk that much in one day. And like, you know, that means that I have to have money to have a car. That means I have to have money to pay for gas. It means I have to have enough money to pay for insurance. I have to have enough money to pay for the parking pass, which is $120 a semester. Or actually, it's $135 now a semester. Which, you know, like, I don't know, I feel like if you're disabled, you shouldn't have to pay that much
right.
to be able to do something that you
have,
like,
I have to
use it, you know?
Right,
that's
yeah.
specifically for, like, a disabled person.
So, they used to, when I first got here, they had, a disability pass that was $120, and then they were like, we're going to get rid of the disability pass, and now you have to buy a C permit, which is $135, and have disability plates. And, like, which is just, it just, like, increased $15, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's just, like, you know,
it's
just
the act of it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
just, like, one, it's annoying that we have to pay at all for something that, like, we literally can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's just, you know, like, not everybody is as fortunate as I am,
mm-hmm.
and that they can afford all that stuff. So, like, if I didn't have, like, my parents' support and my parents', like, financial support,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to go to UT, and I wouldn't be able to do a lot of other things as a disabled person.
Right.
And another thing is that they, like, every time, we all know that there's always construction on UT, right?
Right.
Very annoying. Speedway bricks. But, but every time they do construction, they take away disability parking spots, and they usually don't replace them or, like, put anywhere else. And so there are less disability spots now than when I came here. And, like, the Speedway project, that took away probably at least, like 10 to 20, maybe 25 spots.
Wow.
So, like, because there were two on by the SAC, and there were, like, a bunch, like between Jester and the PCL, and, like, they just got rid of it all. So, like, you know, I used to be able to, you know, like, because, like, for my org, Spit Shine Poetry,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we have open mics, and the open mics are in the SAC. And I used to be able to park right next to the SAC because, like, at that time of night, like, nobody's there. There's, like, two parking spots. There used to be, like, two parking spots, like, right next to the SAC.
Mm-hmm.
And now really hard for me to, like, it's, the thing is, like, for any normal, like, able-bodied person, mm-hmm. It's not hard to walk from where I parked, but for me, it's really hard because I have chronic pain, I have trouble with balance, and I'm really, really slow.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, like, there's some spots in campus where the disability spots are, like, really good, you know, like, inter-campus drive, so, like, you know, like, by the six-pack, there are a lot of parking spots, and, like, by, like, Welch, there are a lot of, like, parking spots, but then there are other places, like, the SAC, where there's, like, no parking spots near it.
Right.
So,
okay. So, to help me understand, where you were able to park beforehand, you parked on where the Speedway bricks are now?
Yeah.
Okay, so
there
that
used
was,
to be
like,
a lot
the road?
Of yeah, that used to be a road.
Oh, okay. And now it's just completely
yeah.
blocked off because you can't even drive on it.
Yeah,
you?
And also, no, you can't.
Right.
Not unless you're like one of those
like
golf cart
people, right, yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you know, yeah, I used to be able to, and it's like it looks prettier now, but like if you're going to take away stuff, you got to replace it with something, you know?
Right.
Like there has to be alternatives. And yeah, and it was just like a lot of the stuff that I like, you know, they added like all these benches and stuff on the Speedway thing, and I like those, but they also could have done that without getting rid of the road, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
There was a lot of things they could have done to beautify the area without literally getting rid of, like, all those parking spots.
Right.
It makes my life really hard. And it's frustrating because, like, unless you're disabled, you just, like, don't think about it.
Right.
You know, because, like, I don't, like, blame people who haven't heard about it before, but it's just sort of, like, you know, this is something that affects my life every day. And a lot of times, like, because, like, parking on UT is hard to find in general, right? And so,
yeah.
like, I mean, like, you basically can't park on UT unless you have a permit.
Right.
But, like, a lot of times for some of my classes, depending on, like, where it is and the time of day, I have to get there, like 1 to 1.5 hours early just to make sure that I find parking. I've been late for class, like, I really try, like, I come really early to, like, my classes to make sure that I can find a parking spot so I'm not late, but a lot of times I still can't find a parking spot, and so then I can't go to class.
Oh my gosh.
And, like, a lot of times, like, I'll find a parking spot, and then it's like, okay, well, I can go to the last 30 minutes, and, like, I do, but
right.
then, like, you know, the teacher's like, well, like, why are you,
late?
Like, late,
yeah.
and I'm like, well, I had to find a parking spot, and it's just hard.
Right.
And, yeah, and... So that's, like, as far as, like, mobility-related disabilities go, that's, like, my experience with it. I also, like, have a friend who, she, like, has arthritis,
mm-hmm.
and she's, like, she's really young, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that, like, the first day of school, the first time she came here, and she had to, like, walk all of it, she just, like, cried, like, as soon as she got home, like, for hours, because she was in so much pain. And also, like, if you, like, you know the SSB, which is, like, where, you know, all
yeah.
the, like,
yeah.
UHS is and, like, CMHC, so that is on top of a giant hill
right.
on one side of campus.
Oh,
yeah.
gosh.
So,
yeah.
do you understand
yeah.
how it's
yeah.
kind of hard for, it's, like, it's not hard for me because I drive everywhere,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't drive everywhere, then it sucks. And so, like, she was talking to me about that. And, yeah. And also, like, there are, like, some places, most of the places with stairs on campus have rails, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, it's really hard for me to climb, like, upstairs without rails.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, sometimes it's just, like, really weird because I have to go, like, really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if, like, I'm feeling really in pain on a certain day, sometimes I, like, literally have to crawl up the steps. Like, it's, like, and it's really embarrassing, you know, because,
right.
like, people are, like, what the, like, why, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What is she doing? You know, but, like, you know, like, that doesn't happen, like, a lot. But, you
right,
know.
But, yeah.
But it's still, like, I shouldn't have to do that, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, that's, like, mobility disabilities. And also, like, I wanna preface this by saying that I don't know everything about every disability.
Right.
And that, like, a lot of times people are like, oh, like, they'll talk to, like, one person with a disability and they'll be like, okay, I understand disabilities now. But the thing is, like, the things that I can do and can't do are different from the things somebody else can and can't do.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of things that I, like, that, like, I still don't understand about, like, other people's disabilities. We have to listen to those people so they can tell us what they need to be accessible. And a lot of times, I have so much to say, wow.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, definitely keep going.
Another thing that is annoying is, so, like, a lot of times, like, and this is with good intentions, but, like, places have policies where it's, like, if you, or, like, if there's, like, an event or there's something, it's, like, if you need anything, tell us, which is nice, and that should be a thing, but also they don't work beforehand to make sure it's accessible.
Right.
You know,
and they
so,
place the burden sort of on you.
Right,
know?
And so we have to advocate for ourselves,
right.
You know, and it's annoying, it's exhausting, and sometimes it's embarrassing, because, like, you know, like, I'm not embarrassed to be disabled, but a lot of people have a lot of shame around it because of, like, internalized ableism, you know,
right, yeah.
And the way, like, society views us, and, like, it used to be, you know, a lot of times people won't ask for help because they don't want to, like, tell people that they're disabled, you know,
mm-hmm.
And, like, I definitely have been there before, and it sucks, and so I just, like, you know, I don't, like, I think that you should definitely be open to, like, having people talk to you about, like, what they need just in case you didn't, like, cover it. But they should also just, like, not leave it up completely up to people. To, they should, like, make an effort beforehand
mm-hmm.
to make sure events are accessible.
Right.
And it's, like, even, like, this is a problem in most spaces, even in, like, activist spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Even in, like, spaces that are, like, you know, like, centered around, like, dismantling, like, different other sorts of oppression, like sexism or racism,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, like, they, like, because they're not disabled, like, they don't make sure that those events are accessible also, and so it's really frustrating.
Right, yeah.
And then there's, like, mental health stuff. And, like, I have depression, and I also have PTSD. Depression, I have PTSD because of, like, mainly because of, like, the relationship that I got out of, like, a while ago, or, like, a, like, 1 or 2 years ago. And, it's, like, it really affects my life a lot. And I would say, let's see, I would say that UT does a good job with CMHC. That is basically, like, my, like, I personally don't trust or appreciate most of the administrative work that UT does. I think that they're inefficient, and I think that they are negligent, and I think that they don't really care, and all that stuff. But I do think that they do the best they can with CMHC and VAV. CMHC and VAV, like, even if they, like, can't do everything, they try really hard. Yeah. So I've had people tell me that, like, sometimes their experiences with CMHC aren't, like, the best, but in my experience, every time I've gone there, they've been very understanding, and they've, and another thing that's really big for me is, like, even, like, all the therapists there, even the white therapists, understand, at least theoretically, the concept of intersectionality, you know, and, like, you know, even if, like, you know, some people understand better than others, but, like,
right.
But, you know, they're not gonna be like, wait, I don't get it. What's sexism? You know, like, I've had therapists that say that to people. Like, I've had to explain, like, all of, like, sexism to, like, therapists before, like, in, like, not part of UT. Really frustrating. But CMHC does a really good job of that. But, like, I don't know. It's just, like, one thing is that, like, for marginalized students, like, a lot of times, like, UT doesn't really care a lot about marginalized students, basically, and I'm basing this off of my own experience, and also the experiences of all my friends and people I talk to,
right,
because a lot of people go to write poetry because they're marginalized and need to talk about it, and, like, yeah, so, like, and I remember, like, I went to a protest, against, like, Richard Morissette, who,
mm-hmm.
you know, for those of you who don't know, is a professor that's still employed by UT, who pleaded guilty to a felony charge of strangling his girlfriend, and he's still employed by UT, and he got 18 days paid administrative leave, so basically a vacation.
You're on the cover of that on the Daily Texan.
Yeah. But yeah, I was there, and it was really important to me, and I just, like, UT talks a lot of talk about how it cares about people, who are in abusive situations but doesn't follow through with anything. Mm-hmm. And, like, the things that they've, like, the only things that they've really done to try and combat that are VAV, which VAV is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Increased police presence, which doesn't help anybody, especially marginalized people.
Yes.
And increased lighting, which, like, could maybe help, but also, like, most rapes and sexual assaults are perpetrated by people known to you, or, like, known to the survivor, so it's, like, they don't do anything about those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they didn't do anything until somebody literally died, like Haruka Weiser, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until somebody literally died that they decided to take action, even though people have been trying to, like, bring this to the forefront for decades.
Mm-hmm,
so,
right.
And, like, you know, that's not really related to, like, ableism, but it is because, like, all of these, you know, they're, like, for me, like, I have PTSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see things like UT not giving this abuser consequences and, like, supporting him, then it's super triggering for me and super bad for my mental health.
Right.
And I have to go out to a protest when I should be taking care of myself, you
right.
know, when I should be taking care of my own mental health, when I should be, like, you know, like, trying to get better. But no, I have to, like, go out, like, I have to go out and, like, talk to people because nobody will do anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
it shouldn't be your job to
yeah.
do stuff like that. Your
right.
job should be taking care of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And
but then that's what ends up happening for, like, not just for me, but for, like, basically all marginalized people, you know, like,
right.
like, you know, like, nothing, like, they're not gonna give you anything. You have to, like, demand
ask
it.
Ask for it. Yeah.
I mean, not
yeah.
even ask, because
okay.
if you ask, they're like,
okay.
maybe. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You sort of have to, you have to be very, like, aggressive. They're, like, different, you know, people have, like, different, like, philosophies about what's the best way to, like, you know, like, bring about change, but you definitely have to be annoying and aggressive, you know,
right,
like,
yeah.
at the very least, to, like, because, you know, like, they're not going to do anything that doesn't benefit them,
right,
you know, so.
Yeah, they're not going to be good people just for the sake of being good people.
Unfortunately.
Sorry, that's how institutions are.
Yeah, it's just very frustrating, and, but back to, like, ableism and how UT is not accessible for, like, disabled students and stuff, I have never been registered with SSD, which is the Services for Students with Disabilities. And the reason why I never registered with them is because I heard really terrible things about, and I researched them myself on, like, their website, whatever, and basically they give you a note at the beginning of the year, and you have to go to all your teachers and tell them, like what you need or whatever, which it's kind of hard to explain. Because, you know, obviously, like, they need to know about it in order to accommodate you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, if you think, like, in my situation, it's very hard for me to walk to every professor's office hours and give them a letter. Like, first of all, that's physically hard for me.
Right.
Second of all, it takes a lot more time. Like, I end up having to do way more work than any of my other, like, able-bodied peers. And so it's just, you know, it's just, like, why do I have to do all this work to get accommodated, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, that's, like, the reality of things, but I just think that there should be ways that make it easier for people with disabilities, because we already have to deal with so much shit by ourselves, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
It's like, why can't SSD just give them to your professors?
Right, everything else in this campus is, like, automated information, like.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's just, like, and also, like, they don't, what I've heard is, they don't really enforce anything. So, like, you know, basically, like, I mean, most teachers aren't going to be like, oh, you have a disability, I don't care, you know, like,
right,
most
yeah.
people aren't like that exactly,
no.
like, most people, if they're ableist, are, like, more subtle about that,
right.
you know, but, like, but if, like, a teacher was like, oh, well, I can't really grade it anymore, even though I said I'd give you, like, an extension, then they don't really, like, SSD doesn't really do anything about it, to my understanding. I don't know this firsthand, though, so I could be wrong, but based on my understanding, based on what I've, like, talked to with, like, other people who I know who are disabled at UT, is that they don't, like, they don't really have any way to enforce any, like, to enforce and make sure that teachers, like, individual teachers are actually giving students accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Are there any, like, organizations or clubs or groups here on campus that other students or future students with disabilities can find a safe place in?
Yeah, well, so there might be, but I don't know of them.
Okay. Well, what has been, I mean, obviously Spit Shine.
Yeah, so for
else?
Me, not to like toot my horn, but like self-advertising, but Spit Shine is supposed to be a safe place for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so especially marginalized people. Marginalized people are like put at the forefront because non-marginalized people are put at the forefront everywhere else. You know, like, if we're, so, like, you know, when we talk, like, in workshop, we're like, listen, if you want to be racist, you can be racist anywhere else on campus, and they're not going to do anything to you, you know, like, but in this room, you know, we are, like, you know, in this room, this is an oppression-free zone. So, I personally found, like, a lot of, like, healing and, like, talking about my, like, personal traumas and also, like, my disability, like, with people in Spit Shine.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but, like, but also, like, Spit Shine isn't, like, a, like, specific to people with disabilities, right?
Right.
I know that there's, like, organizations that are, like, what's the word, like, they advocate for, like, mental health, and it's, like, I think NAMI, like, National Alliance for Mental Illness or something like that,
mm-hmm.
It's NAMI, but, like, but I don't know if they're, like, for, like, advocating for, like, mental illness or actually for people with mental illness. Do you, like, understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So, like one is, like, oh, like, we should do this, and, like, we should, like, raise awareness for things, and one is, like, oh, this is, like, a place for people
okay. mm-hmm.
who have mental illness or who have, like, physical disabilities to, like, be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, both are good, but they're different, you know?
Yeah, purposes. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I don't know of any, but I also didn't seek them out, so,
yeah. That's fair, yeah. Well, for being so, like, open and vulnerable and honest about this.
Thank you.
I learned a lot. So, on a happier note, what are you most excited about for life after graduation? You said you're applying to grad school, but...
Yeah, I'm hoping to go to grad school for social work. In my ideal world,
mm-hmm.
I would like to work at a place like VAV or CMHC because they're not perfect, but they do a way better job than every other place that I've been at of, like, making sure that, like, they're not being oppressive, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they ask for your pronouns, and they, like, you know, like, they understand that racism exists.
Right.
Which seems like such a, like, I don't know,
like
such a
entry
thing.
Level.
Right,
like,
but
yeah.
You'd be really surprised. Yeah, and they definitely try their hardest. You know, and especially with, like, the like, not best resources that they're given with, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, so.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about your book of poems?
Hey, so that, I actually wrote that, a while ago. It was, like, in 2016 or something. So I don't have, like, a new book out, but I have, like, other poems. But, yeah, that one was about, I've had multiple experiences with sexual assault, so that one was mostly about the first experience I had with sexual assault, which was like a childhood experience, and like, so my mom is from Taiwan, and like, it's a big part of my identity, even though, like, I'm white passing, so a lot of times I don't, like, experience discrimination because of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's still, like, you know, a big part of, like, my identity and, like, my culture and whatever,
right.
And so, like, when I was writing the book, I, like, researched, like, Chinese mythology and sort of used, like, themes and imagery from Chinese mythology. Because, like, you know, my parents or, like, my mom's ancestors are from China, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, moved to Taiwan. So Chinese mythology is, like, basically, you know, that's, like, what I... I'm pretty sure, like, my ancestors were, like, you know, like, knew these stories or whatever. And so I used those images, like, as a vehicle to talk about my trauma. So, yeah.
Do you have a poem you want to read?
I have many poems. I don't know which one you want to hear. It's called A Dom Teaches Me About BDSM, or The Disabled Sub Redefines Pain. Every time I bruise, I discover a galaxy, thinly veiled blood, a nebula spreading beneath my skin. He bends me over the side of the bed, says my body is so much like fruit, sweet flesh, bitter rind. He takes a bite and I am raw and open, seeds, stars, spilling from the wound. How strange it is now to ask for this, to beg for this, to look into the face of pain and welcome it. My body has always been seasoned with ache, but we make a mockery of all the hurt my nerves have ever known. Please, 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 make me a constellation, each star, the clinging past, a stinging imprint of a hand, belt. The pleasure is in the asking. Without it, I am light years away from myself. It is what makes me ripe, bright, instead of a famine, void. When I say please, I'm not asking for a new sensation. My body already knows how to writhe under an unwanted scalpel, hand. But now I want it. And he gives it to me, tells me to say thank you. I do, I do, I do. This is the nature of healing, a constant adaptation, a body that never stops screaming, singing in response. A bruise is nothing but blood, pleading escape, freedom. He watches my heavenly body bloom, pink, purple, blue, presses me into pulp between his fingers, hair pulling, choking, biting, and harvests the light dripping from each curve, his wet mouth, my wet mouth, the wet I hide. My body has always been dead, still. What I'm saying is, I have never moved like this. I ask to be tied. Root me to this earth. Split the dirt and show me what grows here. Show me a place where I can choose pain and it does not destroy me. This is a lesson in geography. Others have charted their own maps. Their drawings show rotting, emptiness. Their records show disability, victim. But like any good teacher, he does not claim knowledge. He only shows me my body is capable of a gorgeous quivering. Fruit aware of its own flourishing. A world aware of its own fault lines. A universe aware of its own pulsing.
Wow.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Wow. That was awesome. Really good. I'm always super, I am not a good poet. I'm an accounting major, so words aren't my thing. But I am always impressed by how people can do it because I can't. I'd be like, I love love. And
oh my God. Listen, if you try and talk to me about poetry, I will talk to you for weeks. I would just be like, listen, these are all the poets you have to watch. Anyways. But yeah, and so like, I'm like coaching a team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, they like.
Yeah, so we're Cupsy, which are the nationals, is in Philly. I think we leave on April 2nd, and it like starts April 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. It's like a week, basically.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
So cool.
But yeah, and so it's really exciting. So they're gonna be competing against like 60 to 70 other schools. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
that is exciting.
Yeah. So did they have to go through like regional, state, or you go straight to national?
No, so like what we do is like we create a team, and the way we create a team is we have a slam on campus.
Okay.
And then the top five people are on the team.
And then you go to nationals with
yeah.
that team. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And so basically, like, we ever since October, we've been writing, editing. Now we're starting to, like, choreograph stuff. So just, like, movements and, like, voice stuff, you know, because it's about poetry and performance, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so it's just really good. I'm really proud of everybody on the team and.
Awesome. Well, thanks for everything you
thank
shared
you.
Today.
Thank you. We wish your team all the best.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where can people find you and find Spitshine?
Yeah. So for me, I have like a website. If you look up Jasmine C. Bell, you'll probably find me. And then my greatest accomplishment or whatever is. So, on Button, so Button Poetry is a YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
and they're basically, like, the most mainstream organization for, like, slam poetry, and they get slam poetry into the mainstream and stuff. So, basically, if you've ever seen, like, a slam poetry video on YouTube, it was probably from Button. It might not have been, but it was probably from Button.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, if you get on it, you are guaranteed, like, a bunch of views, and I go on it once.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, if you look up Jasmine Bell Little Lies, it'll come up, and it has, like, 35,000 views.
Wow. You're in the face of fame and royalty.
but enough about me. but for Spitshine, we have, like, a group on Facebook that you can just, like, ask to be added to. It's, like, I think it's, like, Spitshine Poetry, UT. We also have an Instagram and a Twitter, and I'm pretty sure the handle is, like, @UTSpitshine. Yeah, and then we also, like, you know, this semester, so, like, we have, like, workshops every Thursday,
mm-hmm.
At 7 p.m. in CLA 0.106. That's for this semester. It changes from semester to semester, like, the
mm-hmm.
room number, but it's always at 7 o'clock, or on Thursdays at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
We have it, like, every week. And then we have, like, open mics, like, interspersed. Our next open mic is on March 21st. That's Wednesday in the SAC auditorium.
Wow.
And it's going to feature the team. So if you really want to see the team, you can
come check it out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Right,
thank you so much. So, I guess thanks for listening in this week. We hope you'll continue to check us out and be on the lookout for more unheard and unbothered.